Welcomes before we start. First of all, welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to the share. It's good to see you guys. Okay. I think I have to start from scratch for 3 weeks with Rabbi K. Maybe like he undid everything I did over all those months. I got to teach you. It's called A-ba-ga-da-ha-i-b. Teach you Aleph-ay. Okay, it's good to see everyone back. Welcome to our DRS kids. Let's go. Let's have a nice look. Okay. I want to start a little bit with very famous Gemara Bava Kama about Parshas Beshalach. 3 days had elapsed and they couldn't drink any water. So of course Chazal, see Mayim is a metaphor for Torah, ein Mayim el Torah. Top five reasons that Mayim is compared to Torah, there are about 15, top five. Why is Mayim compared to Torah?
Says just like water flows from up to low.
Gemara in just like water starts in celestial heights and descends to the cliffs and streams beneath, so too Torah inheres in the lowest and humble heart, not in the arrogant people. So Torah is for humble people.
Maybe Akiva.
He saw the water sculpting the rock and he made a kal v'chomer. Ma mayim shurach posel as evan shukasha Torah shukasha kerbazel lachas kama v'kama shu posel slivo shaladam. It was a kal v'chomer. People don't know it's a kal v'chomer. People think he thinks it was a hadashav. It was a kal v'chomer. If something soft can sculpt something hard, then something hard like Torah should sculpt something fleshly and soft and sensitive like the heart. So number two, it shapes your identity. Number three, you're done.
Isn't it also Rabbi Akiva with the fox?
The fox, that's where you live. That's the obvious one. You can't live outside of water. What, 85% of your body? Where are the science geeks that are willing to admit it? How much percentage of your body is water? 70, okay. Good. Thanks for the geeky input there. Okay, we like it. Okay. 70% is water. So we've got descends from high to low. And you need it to live, and because it shapes. What else? Rechava min hayam. It says vast, right? You see, guys, see Yam Shel Shlomo's yet this year? You have a couple of Yam Shel Shlomo's, very famous Yam Shel Shlomo's on Gittin. In order to try to debunk the Mechaber's concept that you could systematize halacha and shape it into, you know, the Shulchan Aruch, wanted to create a system for halacha, he called it Shulchan Aruch. He can paskin based on a 2-3 majority, Rash, Rif, Rambam. So in order to debunk the notion that Torah can be compartmentalized, Shlomo Luria, living in the 16th century in Poland, Lublin, some of you will see his kever. What do you call it, Sefer, to show how vast it is? Yam Shel Shlomo. So water is not just the trickles, but it's this vast yam. And no one's quoting the pasuk, Rechava Mini Yam, that it's as vast as the water. So it's like these oceans that are untamed and wild. What's the fifth one? Why is Torah compared to water? Okay, if I say this, don't tell anyone I told you this. You're not supposed to earn a living when you're a Rebbe. Any Rebbe who earns a living, the Rambam says, is a ganef. Famous Rambam against kolels and against paying Rebbes. To one Rambam I don't paskin like. A big fat salary. Ma mayim b'chinam, af atem b'chinam. Just like mayim is freely available, you don't really have to pay for water unless you drink the fancy schmancy water. I know five towns people are here, so maybe you drink the fancy schmancy, splintered, sprinkled, green bottled water, but I'm just a simple guy. I put my mouth to the well and I start slurping up. I grew up in Brooklyn, right? We're the Brooklyn guys. We don't drink fancy schmancy water. So water is freely available. You just slurp it up. Then I slurp it up to tell your grandparents, you know, I mentioned Brooklyn, a big call out. So those are the five reasons that Torah is compared to water, based primarily in the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu called Samei Lechu L'mayim, where it quotes the Pasuk. Other sources, where else in the Torah is water compared to Torah? Where in specifically in the Torah? Give you a hint, Sefer Bamidbar, where does Chazal see a reference to Torah being water? Midbar, Matana, Nachliel. Matana is the Matana that Hashem gave us in the Midbar, and it leads to Nachliel. So that's where Chazal read it into the Pesukim in Parshas Chukas. So the Gemara in Bava Kama says, sometimes if they went 3 days without water, they went 3 days without contact with the Rabbonu Shalom. At the Yam Sof, even a Shivcha saw more of the Rabbonu Shalom than Yechezkel. Rosh Shivcha Layam, Mashalara Yechezkel ben Buti Miyamav. Chezkel ben Buti was a celestial prophet. He saw Meiser Merkava. And a Shivcha saw more of the Rabbonu Shalom at the Yam Sof than Yechezkel. That's why the Yam Sof, they could actually say, Zeh Kelev Yonveu. Zeh is normally a Hebrew phrase when you can point something out that's concrete. Vezeh Meiser HaMenorah. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim. They could see HaKadosh Baruch Hu so palpably, as it were, that they could say, Zeh Kelev Yonveu. 3 days had passed and they lost that contact. And the Gemara says, I heard this Gemara from the Rav loved to quote this Gemara, Nilu. That spiritual torpor, that spiritual malaise, they found themselves spiritually weakened and diminished, nilu. They were like wilting. Nilu means to wilt. So the Nevi'im, Shabbos Sa'ador, the Nevi'im of that generation. Interesting. Who are the Nevi'im aside from Moshe? We know who the Navi was. The Gemara Bava Kama says, Amdu Nevi'im Shebenem. Evidently, there was a group of Nevi'im that operated alongside of Moshe, whose names we'll never know. Right? There were 48 Nevi'im, the Gemara says, who were recorded. But the Gemara says in Megillah, there are thousands of Nevi'im, B'nei Nevi'im. So Nevuah was not limited only to an exclusive cadre of people, but we just have recorded from certain Nevi'im. Amdu Nevi'im Shebeneim B'tiknu Sheyu Karim B'Shabbos. You should read the Torah on Shabbos, or Mafsikin Becha B'Shabbos. You don't have to read on Sunday. Karim B'Sheni, read on Monday, Mafsikin Shle. Basically, Mesakin Kuras HaTorah. The Jewish people should never go 3 days without Talmud Torah. It's the last time, they said. Am Yisrael will never go 3 days, like they had to wander 3 days in the Midbar without contact with the Bar Hashem. Rabbi Soloveitchik claimed that this takana of Kriyas HaTorah and the general takana of Kriyas HaTorah is not an opportunity to learn Torah B'tzibwa. That's important. Mishnah in Perkei Avos says different types of learning. Minayin afilu eser shashchina kenegdu, minayin afilu chamisha, minayin afilu shlosha. There are different types of learning, and one form of learning is learning B'tzibwa. But Kriyas HaTorah is not Liman HaTorah B'tzibwa. Kriyas HaTorah is what the Rav would call Shmias Devar Hashem. Making sure you're constantly exposed to the Rabbanu Shalom's word. Shmias Devar Hashem. It's experiential, not cognitive. It's not cerebral. To experience Devar Hashem, after all, the Rav said, this takana was made before there was a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. This is pre-Har Sinai. It's not a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, yet there's a takana of Kriyas HaTorah. So the takana of Kriyas HaTorah precedes the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So evidently, it's not just an expansion of Talmud Torah, but Tzibur. It's a whole different kettle of fish. It's a whole different experience. It's not Talmud Torah. It's Shmias Devar Hashem. And the Rav, in a much more convincing proof, asked a very, very intriguing question. What were they reading? In Parshas Mishalach, when they made the Takana, what did they read? Let's make a Takana for Kriyas HaTorah. Okay, what's a Torah? They didn't yet have the Torah. So evidently, they had certain recorded Devar Hashem. So Hashem told Avram certain things which he had recorded to writing Hashem. Yes, evidently, there were these scribbles they'd written down, but not necessarily the formal parashios as we know them. So evidently, the takana was not to learn Torah v'tzibur every 3 days. The takana was not to let 3 days pass without Shmias Devar Hashem. If you look at the Rambam, Perek Yudal, Hilchos Tefillah, where he quotes Talmud Torah, he actually uses the Lashon of Lishmoah. The mitzvah is not Lumod, but Lishmoah. So this, of course, gives us a better understanding of Kriyas HaTorah, that it's experiential. But it also helps us, hopefully, if we shrink it down to our own personal level, why are we here? What are we trying to accomplish this year? Can you get to the stage in life? Like, everyone has to learn Torah b'chol kocho. Every single person in this room is a male. As far as last time I checked, every single male is chayv in Talmud Torah. And last time I checked, the shir of Talmud Torah is ein lehem shir. I think I say it every morning in davening. Eilud ram she ein lehem shir. Talmud Torah. Okay, so the difficulties of life means that echad amar b'vechad amam. Some learn X hours, some learn X minus Y, some learn X minus Y minus Z, and no one judges the other person. You learn based on your ability, and ability has a lot of elasticity to that phrase. One has to study Torah. But there are days in your life where you won't be able to learn Torah. Days that you're ill, days that you're traveling, days that you're tending to other people, days that you're in the army, you serve, and you won't be able to fulfill the average quote of Torah that you try to knock out more or less on a fairly regular basis. But can you get to the stage where when a day passes or 2 days pass and you're not really learning for legitimate reasons, there are legitimate reasons not to learn. If you don't know how to close the sefer, don't bother opening the sefer. You have to know when to close the sefer. And I think for our guests, this is a yeshiva where we know when to close the sefer, because it's important because we have to support our people and build our future and build our country. And so you got to know something. But those days that you close the sefer, can you feel, you know what, it's 11 o'clock at night, I haven't learned Torah yet today. Like sometimes you don't eat. Sometimes, quite frankly, I don't eat till 10:30 at night. I got to put food in my body. I know that I'll be too hungry overnight. I'll wake up. So I just throw something down. It's not like my normal. I don't eat too much anyway. Whatever. It's not like my normal. When I used to eat, I throw something quickly from the freezer. In that sense, I haven't learned today. Let me open a Mishnah. Let me see a Mishnah. Let me see a Gemara. Let me have to reconnect with the Kodesh Baruch. Just very, very quickly. Just opening up a Mishnah on my cell phone, opening up something. Can it be that sense of kihem chayenu v'erach yameinu? And ironically, you have to learn 14 hours in yeshiva. So you get to the point where you see it as a Devar Hashem, and you see its majesty, and you see its beauty, and then you can learn that 14 minutes or 14 seconds one day. We really don't have the time. Some of you will be in medical school. Some of you will be up doing 36-hour shifts. Just say, let me just grab a Mishnah. Remember, I told you this before. Someone once asked Rav Lichtenstein, why should you learn Torah? Like, he stopped in mid-sentence. And in his inimical voice that he always registered moral indignation with, he would say, why study Torah? Why breathe? And like, he brought the house down. That was a two-word answer. You don't have to quote any Shelley or Dickens. You know, why study Torah? Why breathe? And that was the end of the conversation. So it's good to remember, Parshas B'Shalach, Ein Mayim El Torah. even if you don't feel it that deeply, to say, this is Kiyam Chayenu, this is my spiritual sustenance, and I want to keep contact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I didn't get to learn today. Let me just say a mission before I go to sleep. Let me just read two lines of Gemara, open up in Medrash, go to YU Torah. I heard there's some good revies on YU Torah. You can download this. I mean Rabbi Leibowitz now. Okay. Okay, let's, this is one of my favorite ones. Okay. So let's, when I jog, I listen to this. Okay.